This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good afternoon and welcome to Pink Popcorn, the movie review show that tries to find a little bit of homo in every film. I'm Kylie Eddy and I'm joined today by my gay husband.
Hi, I'm Paul Tonta.
First of all, big thanks to Pete Dillon for getting our taste buds going, and we're ready to jump in and start munching on some popcorn. What will we be talking about today, Paul?
We're going Hollywood, very Hollywood today. We're talking about Hereafter, the new Clint Eastwood film, the new rom-com starring Ashton Kutcher and everyone's favourite Natalie Portman. No strings attached, and James Franco in 127 hours.
And you know what? We are going to find something gay about all of those films.
We're
going to
try our hardest.
You know, we're going to... Look, it's a long bow, I know, but we are determined to out Hollywood blockbusters as having something queer about them. I know. And also, I'm delighted that we're going to have our first interview for the year coming into the studio to chat to us about a new video-on-demand website, especially for the girls. It's all about lesbian film. The founder of the site, Andrea Wing, is coming in to talk to us about Busk Films. It's just been released, so we're going to get all the news first.
Very exciting. We're moving into the digital age, aren't we now, with VOD? We'll explain what that is later, kids.
I mean, I love watching stuff online. I tend to do quite a bit of it these days. And it's certainly the way of the future.
It is. Just the accessibility of films, you know, on the internet. You can have it at your fingertips.
And particularly for films like gay and lesbian films that are not mainstream, that potentially are not going to get released, and also struggle to find a major distribution.
Absolutely. Very hard to find, but not anymore, which is great.
Fantastic. So if you would like to be a part of the discussion today, we'd love to hear from you. We're always interested to know what you've been seeing at the films and whether or not you've been able to find a gay connection, maybe at a blockbuster film like we have. You can SMS us on 0427JOY949, or you can also email us on air at joy.org.au. And if you're into Facebook, then please look us up, Pink Popcorn on Facebook. We're the ones with the little picture of some pink popcorn, funny enough.
We're pretty literal here.
It's hard to miss. So by all means, join in, and we'd love to hear, particularly if you've seen any of these films as well. Right now, this is Wanda Jackson with Shaking All Over. You're on Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9. Hereafter is a new drama centred on three people, a blue-collar American, a French journalist, and a London schoolboy, who are all touched by death in different ways.
I think you experienced death.
Everything I have, I lost.
If you're worried about being on your own, don't be. You're not.
Hereafter.
Paul, what did you think about Hereafter? I've had a little bit more time to process this because I actually saw it last week. But you've literally just come from the screening.
Yes, I just went through it with seven of my closest friends at the cinema net. there's a new Clint Eastwood film. And one of the main reasons I think I was looking forward to it was it is a Clint Eastwood film.
Of course, me too.
Yeah, stars Matt Damon and Cécile de France. Cécile de France is a wonderful actress. She's pretty much like she's France's most successful actress.
She's amazing.
She's extraordinary. Look, I found this film, it is terribly important. You know, everything about this film is, you know, it's like, it's just this portentousness about it. I was ultimately disappointed because it's actually quite an interesting, you know, concept. But I mean, I think it is very disjointed. You've got these three stories. Matt Damon plays this psychic in San Francisco,
but ex-psychic,
of course, sorry, because you know he's it's not a gift, it's a curse, people.
Of course.
Cécile de France plays the one, it's not really a spoiler, but at the start of the film in Thailand, basically
it is a spoiler if you're interested in seeing this film with no preconceptions whatsoever. If so, don't listen to a movie review show, people.
Exactly.
Don't listen.
And or don't watch the trailer.
Or don't watch the trailer, because this is in the trailer. So I feel because it's in the trailer and the TVC, it's not a, we're not giving away a big spoiler.
And
anyway, proceed.
So basically, it's in the Thailand tsunami, and she survives, but she basically, you know, dies for a very short period of time and then is revived.
Can we just say, though, I mean, I don't know how you felt about it, but that opening sequence, so that first 10 minutes set in Thailand, is, for me, the best part of the film. It is amazing.
It's visually, you know, extraordinary. I mean, Steven Spielberg is one of the executive producers on this film, and it feels like a Spielberg film, that opening. You know, that the old classic, you know, the Raiders Lost Ark and Jaws and all of those films.
Building.
Like those, you know, this big opening 10-minute, and then the drama unfolds from there. And then the third part of the story is in London, and it's this young boy, twin brothers. One of the brothers dies, and the other one has to basically live with the repercussions. And so, you know, it's all... It is a very tricky film to talk about ultimately, but it's about these people obviously dealing with their, you know, their situations. Look, and ultimately, it didn't really add up to much for me. It's a bit silly and a bit...
Well, it doesn't really... I mean, I think what Clint Eastwood's style is very much like, I'm presenting you with the film and you make your own decisions, but there's not much to really help you make your decision apart from some kind of mawkish kind of, I don't know, there's a few little sequences that are a little bit on edge for me and kind of take you out of the film. But ultimately, you're not left really with much to help make a decision. So really, your feelings about life after death, or lack thereof, are probably going to be the same before you walked into the cinema.
Yes.
So it will really depend on how you personally feel about what happens to you after you die, about how much you will enjoy this film.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because it removes religious... There's a tiny bit of, you know, religious aspect to it. Like, but not to the whole film. It just is this is one... you know, persons or people's, you know, ideas. But I found that interesting, that the secular nature of it. Look, the thing that it is a very interesting film, and it uses, you know, the London bombings, it uses the tsunami, so it uses these real events to kind of galvanize people and to bring them into, you know, a sense of reality. But really, it is a bit mawkish, and Clint Eastwood is a very good narrative, classical storyteller.
Sure.
There's lots of, you know, shots of, you know, people going to a building, so you see the building, the cameras zoom up. He does his own music, he has for many years. It's simple, like it's guitar and piano and a bit of strings, but it just so stands out.
It's a bit too long. Something just doesn't quite work with all of these. They're kind of great stories individually, but there's something doesn't... Look, Matt Damon's performance lovely and understated.
I think he's actually very good. I actually think Matt Damon is fantastic.
He is an amazing... And a lot of the time, I just wanted to keep going back to him.
Yes.
You could have just made a story about him.
Yep.
And look, there is absolutely... This feels like a European film almost in some ways. You know, once again, that's not neither a good thing or a bad thing. There are good and bad European films.
The interesting thing about that is that the Cécile de France section is in French, which is great. Which subtitle, you know, for a big Hollywood blockbuster, great. Anyway, that's just a...
I agree. There were lots of things I really liked about it. There is a 0% queer quota in this film.
But
what I would just quickly like to say, that Clint Eastwood's new film that he is already working on is J. Edgar. It's based, the biopic based on a J. Edgar Hoover about his controversial private life as a homosexual and rumoured cross-dresser. And J. Edgar Hoover is being played by Leonardo DiCaprio.
Mm.
And there is meant to be lots of guy-on-guy kissing. So
I wait to see that. Mr. Eastwood, he's quite right-wing. But anyway,
We'll see what happens. So maybe Clint's next film will have something more gay for us to speak about. This is zero gay.
Zero.
And what is your rating, star rating on this film?
I'll give this 2.5 stars. Being quite generous, actually.
Actually, I'm going to... Oh, my girlfriend's going to kill me because she actually really loved this film. Sorry, Rose. I'm going to give it 2 stars.
Yep.
Very disappointed. We're coming up later in the show, we'll be talking about No Strings Attached, the new rom-com by Natalie Portman. And up very next, we have an interview with Andrea Wing, who's from Busk Films, coming to tell us all about it. You're on Pick Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
Call Joy, 1-300-JOY 949. 1-300-JOY 949.
This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9. That was Robin, Get Myself Together. And we are joined in the studio now by Andrea Wing, who is the founder and CEO of a new lesbian film website called Busk Films. Good afternoon.
Hello there. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great to have a guest, an actual real-life guest in the studio. It's our first for 2011, so we're very excited to have you here.
And I travelled all the way from Vancouver to be here.
Oh, an international guest.
They flew me in. It's amazing.
Absolutely isn't. There's no expense paid here.
We can barely afford a glass of water in at Joy, so we're very lucky that you funded your own travel. So tell us a little bit, first of all, a little bit about yourself and what made you interested in creating a website all about lesbian films.
Well, I guess it all really sparked about 3 years ago, and it was in my efforts to find good lesbian entertainment content online. You know, I was really trolling the internet and really couldn't find anything of substance, quality, or length. And I was like, there must be. You know, I'm a filmmaker, and I'd been to many film festivals, and I know that there were lots of films out there that I couldn't find and couldn't source. And I'm like, well, where are these films? I need to find these films. And I'm sure I wasn't the only person that thought that they wanted to see more content. And so I just began the process. I had some very good friends in media as well, and we brainstormed the platform and the concept and started working on bringing it to life.
So it has actually taken a couple of years from the conception of this idea into now a fully formed concept that's just been launched this week. So what is the actual Busk Films about? How does it work?
So basically, it's a site to showcase and make available for rent independent lesbian film. And with that, with every rental that is made, what is really important for us is that a large percentage of the revenue is going directly back into the pockets of filmmakers. And really, the point is to, you know, as a filmmaker, you know, the point is to actually make money with your project. I mean, so many of us have made films that have gone through the circuits, and if they're not picked up by major distributors, you don't really see a lot of money or gain a lot of real recognition for your for all your hard work.
A lot of work with little reward, yes, absolutely, yes.
That's it. And it's also breathing life into a lot of the films that have run the circuit. And I know a lot of them get shelved, and really it's a platform to be able to continue the life of these films.
I mean, a lot of these lesbian films, they sometimes have an excellent screening around the world in queer film festivals, but then actually still don't get even a gay and lesbian distributor. There are a few of those, but even that market is very hotly contested, and quite often it's only a couple of the big sort of Hollywood-style films that make it. So it's really exciting to have another way of breathing some life into these titles that you wouldn't necessarily have a chance to.
Oh, that's it, exactly. And it's also about, you know, you're saying a lot of these films are potentially from the States, you know, and you know, our idea is to have a lot of international representation. And we do have films from Russia and from Slovenia and from Israel. And so it's really important for us to make sure that we connect with those filmmakers as well, because the stories coming out of these various countries, I think, are incredibly important. And also, it's so nice to see representation that is not cookie cutter.
Yeah. Absolutely. And how many films are there available on the site now?
Right now there's 39 films.
Great.
And it was very interesting because it's, you know, before I actually had an entity to show anyone, it was me calling people like Kylie and saying, hi, you know, I'm this girl from Vancouver and I'm going to build this site that does XYZ. You got to trust me, send me your film. And, you know, 35 filmmakers took the leap of faith and said, yeah, I see where you're going. I see the idea. I see the potential. Here's my film, you know, and it was amazing that those 35
what,
on board.
Now that you've probably seen every lesbian film that's been made in the last couple of decades, what is your feeling about where lesbian film is at the moment, and potentially what are your thoughts or hopes for the future of lesbian film?
Well, I've seen a little bit of a shift in the last little while, especially with the cost of production really coming down with equipment and equipment for production and post, and really the DSLR revolution is really has changed the style of filmmaking, and I just hopped on board myself, and it's really exciting to see what is now going to come, because I think the stories are changing a little bit. It's not so much about identifying and making sure that we're recognized. It's more, it's almost like, if I want to, you know, use the L word and lip service as an example. The L word, you know, touched on all the big lofty lesbian ideas and needed to really focus on, I guess just really hammer away all these big ideals around lesbianism. Whereas lip service is just really a story about a bunch of girls.
Yep.
And I think that's where the direction of lesbian films is heading. And more about real stories, less trying to prove a point about XYZ, and I think it's going to be really exciting.
I mean, I think that what I have kind of seen as well is that I think that's where the gay male films are already at and have been for quite some time, whereas the lesbian films have been a little bit soapboxy and preachy maybe and not quite as much recognition. Paul, did you
I agree with you, and I think that there's that lack of there's a lot of serious lesbian films out there, and that's the thing about the real fun and, you know, just the really joyousness of, you know, there's like Go Fish in the early days, sort of, you know, that kind of treaded a nice line, but more fun lesbian films. That's the thing. Yeah, I think that needs to.
Yeah, well, and I think that now with other opportunities and with more content, that is possible because there's a whole range of different stories that can be told. Exactly. It's really exciting.
It's so exciting. Absolutely. Oh, it's.
We're really pleased for you, Andrew, and we're loving that you're going to be in Australia for a little while, and I hope that we'll be able to speak to you again soon, maybe even if you could bring in some filmmakers and have a chat about what else is happening on the website. We wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
The website, maybe you can just say what the website address is.
Log on to buskfilms.com, and we're also obviously on Twitter and Facebook.
And so what I'll do is I'll also put a link on our Pink Popcorn Facebook page for all of you to find it if you'd like any more information. Thanks for coming in, Andrea.
Thank you, guys.
You're on Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
Cruising for Joy? It's safe listening. It's safe listening. Joy 94.9. Joy 94.9.
This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9. No Strings Attached is a romantic comedy about a guy and a girl who try to keep their relationship strictly physical, but it's not long before they learn that they both want something more.
You don't remember my name, do you?
Did you have a good time last night?
It's all right. Nothing special.
Hey, Adam. You left your socks in my room.
Did I?
Hey, champ.
Hey, what happened last night?
You made my body hurt so much.
Your app.
Emma, did I have sex with anyone in this apartment last night?
No, you didn't.
That's the girls all having a bit of fun. Other girls and the one gay man, the gay flatmate, all having a bit of fun at Ashton Kutcher's. He's, you know, he's a bit embarrassed. He is, by the way, in that scene completely naked and hot.
And he drinks. Is it the premise of that he basically gets smashed all the time? Does he?
Or? No, actually, he that was the one night that he does. It's kind of. It's actually, this film is an interesting role reversal. I find that the Natalie Portman character is really, she's carefree. She doesn't want to be tied down. She's kind of like the bloke in the relationship, right. And Ashton is all, I love her and I want to be in a relationship with her, but she's only offering sex, so I guess I'll just take that. And this age old question, can you be friends and lovers and vice versa?
Yeah, the Harry Met Sally question,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's the kind of like a modern twist. Though, it's directed by Ivan Reitman, who's been around for 100 years.
Mr. Ghostbusters himself.
Speaking of which, Ghostbusters 3 is in pre-production now that he's directing. Oh, talk about going back to old ground. But anyway, and for me, it does feel a little bit like he might be out of his element. I'm not sure that Ivan Reitman is up with the sexting and, you know, what kind of happens.
Kids? What's his texting? What's his OMFG thing? What are they talking about?
Yeah, so there are a couple of moments when I felt like, and particularly the humour is a little bit, it's trying to be a little bit racy. The first scene there is a little bit of a sucker punch of how crass it is.
Right.
But to me, it feels a little bit out of place, and it's a directorial sort of style, not necessarily because of the script. So, I don't know, there's a slight disconnect there. That being said, I had the most fun at a romantic comedy that I've had in a long time.
Oh, great.
I have been let down by rom-coms recently.
It's been
It's been slim pickings.
Yeah.
I mean, in the absolutely terrible... Oh, what's the name of it?
The James L. Brooks film.
How do you know?
How do you know? Why do they make it? Is it? Yeah. Why is it called?
Why bother?
Yeah. Did they give Reese Witherspoon an Oscar? Really?
Really?
Anyway.
So I was relieved that I actually was enjoying this film in the rom-com kind of way.
Oh,
it's
fantastic.
Kind of sweet. It's kind of funny. And Ashton, do you like
Not
him?
Not really. No, he annoys me.
I know. And his last two rom-coms, so he was in last year, Valentine's Day and Killers.
Right.
In both of those, he had, you know, they're a great actress, Katherine Heigl and Jennifer Garner, who I love. But anyway, we'll try to stay away from that. they just didn't seem any kind of chemistry between Ashton. It just, something was off.
But Natalie.
I mean, what's not to like about Natalie?
She's in well, obviously with Black Swan, this is one of five films she's in this year. Five films, count them. Wow.
She's been a busy
girl. She has been very busy,
And I did read somewhere that after Black Swan and how she, you know, fractured her, sprained her rib and, you know.
The training
for
ballet,
a year.
You just like can't eat anything and stand on your toes for 12 hours.
Yeah, she was like, you know what? I just might do something fun where I get to romp around with Ashton in the buff, you know? And it is really, there is a lovely, delicate chemistry between them. And it's not as predictable. Sure, it does fit conventions. That's what you want from a rom-com.
Yes.
But it does have a few little moments. And the supporting cast, there's the gay flatmate. He just doesn't get enough of a look in. One of Ashton's best friends, the character he plays, has two gay dads.
Oh.
We're going so gay here. There is a very short lesbian scene between two women, and it's not what you imagine. Normally these things are done for the pleasure of men, but he's kind of ousted from it, and it's quite fun. So, look, it's certainly not a gay film by any stretch of the imagination, but there's some fun kind of playing with things in there, and I really had a good time.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah, I should say, I wish I had seen that instead of Hereafter. Oh, well.
Choose your poisons. You really can't compare.
I choose unwisely.
No. They're completely different films.
They are.
So, look, if you're after a little bit of light fluff, Natalie Portman, who manages to make hospital scrubs look amazing. Is there anything this woman cannot do? You know, she's playing a doctor, of course.
Yeah.
She's smart. She's sexy. She's got... Anyway. Oh, stop me now. Can you see what I was
doing
for
the water over Kylie.
So, the quick quote is quite high in this film.
Which is good.
Which is great. And I'm going to give this film, you know what? I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5 just for, you know, for good fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good time at the movies.
Exactly. So, coming up next, we will be talking about, this film has really been hyped quite a lot with its Oscar nomination, 127 Hours. You're on Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
127 Hours is the true story of mountain climber Aaron Rolston's remarkable adventure to save himself after a fallen boulder crashes on his arm and traps him in an isolated canyon.
Hey, you lost? I'm a guide. What do you say?
Well, the guidebook says that the route's through here, but I know a better way.
Oh, you have to remember that everything will be okay.
Ah! Oh my God, Aaron!
So, Kylie, 127 hours. Your thoughts?
Well, I think this is another huge success for Danny Boyle, the director of Slumdog Millionaire.
Yes.
He's gone from the place where it's the most populated place in the world to going to just one man and a canyon. And yet, you would think that how's he going to make that visually interesting? How's this possibly going to make it into a film? But he does it with such finesse.
It's a very interesting concept because, I mean, I think everybody, I mean, Aaron Rolston, the true life man, he's been in Australia at the moment, and everybody knows. I mean, I think it's one of those films that everybody knows what happens.
Yeah,
he survived.
There's no secret.
Exactly. You know, we know what, if you don't know what happened, then we won't tell you, but...
He cuts off his arm.
Okay. That'll be, I won't tell you, that'll be Kylie Taylor's you. But yeah, so he basically cuts off his arm, and I remember in the movie, it's about, gosh, 15 or 20 minutes in, and he, you know, he gets trapped, and you go, what are you going to do, Mr. Danny Boyle? What are you going to impress me? And, you know, it goes for 92 minutes. It zips along. It absolutely is a cracking pace. I mean, James Franco in the lead role.
Oh,
I mean,
genius casting.
He's amazing. I mean, James Franco has done some extraordinarily interesting roles, but he's just... This, you know, obviously he's got an Academy Award nomination for Best Actor. He's really quite remarkable.
I mean, and not only has he got a nomination this year for an Academy Award, he's co-hosting the Oscars with Anne Hathaway, which at first I'm like, oh, that's going to be terrible. But you know what? I think that they kind of pull it off. I saw a little bit of a trailer where they did a little funny kind of piece to camera, and the chemistry between them was quite lovely. And look, they're both such talented actors of our generation.
They are, yeah. And James Franco, he's written and directed a number of films. He did two short films last year and a featured documentary. And he also stars in a film called Howl, which is being released very soon. So he's enormously, you know,
he's prolific.
Yeah, he is. And he's and also one of my favourites. He had that great cameos in 30 Rock. but he's amazing.
He's not afraid of making himself look stupid for the sake of the character and having a good time and putting himself down. He has played gay for pay several times, not only in Howl, which is coming up, but also was in Milk. He played...
That broke his... I think that was when people were set up and went, you know what? You're actually a damn good actor. The interesting thing about this film, and I think it is a very strong film in a number of regards. I was a little bit disappointed. I think the use of music in this film is just a little bit over the top. I mean, there's a scene at the end, the triumphant escape with Sigur Rós music drove me bananas. I love Sigur Rós and bit blah. But I think that's it. But the thing about Danny Boyle, you know, he's done Trainspotting, he's done The Beach, he's done 28 Days Later. He just jumps around genres. Yeah. And he's a very much, and my favourite film actually of his is called Sunshine. He's a very in-your-face filmmaker. He's not subtle. Subtle isn't in Danny Boyle's book. But... You know, there's lots of close-ups. You know, in the start of the film, there's a lot of, you know, aerial footage, and this Aaron Rolston's, he's an adventurer, and there's a lot of space, and the camera moves with him, obviously, you know, to compensate later on when he's basically stuck in a prison and he can't move. So that's quite interesting, if a little bit obvious. But the stuff when he's caught in the canyon, what he's thinking about, you know, he thinks about his... The clip that we played before, he meets these two girls and he takes them on this adventure, which is extraordinary in the film. Like, it really is breathtaking. Mm. And then he thinks about, you know, his parents and the love of his life that got away. And there's a really fantastic where he because he has a video camera. The thing I found actually very interesting about this film, set in 2003, he's recording himself constantly. You know, 8 years later, we are recording ourselves, you know, everything, everywhere we go, and, you know, the Twitter and, you know, and just photographs and what have you. He's doing this and he's constantly, he falls over, like at the start of the film, he writes, but he falls over and he takes a photo of himself. It's like, I find it interesting because he obviously loves nature and loves the excitement of it. And I don't know. It's interesting that he wants to document it rather than just enjoying the moment and being near the physicality of it. He has to sort of stop and go, click, I was here, which makes
That is part of... They were very truthful to the story. Aaron Ross did have a camera with him, and James was allowed to see that last video. I mean, it's not being made public, obviously, that video. It's basically a video of his last will and testament, but he did allow... actually, the writer,
Simon Beaufoy,
who's worked with Danny Boyle before, they're great collaborators, and also James, a look at that. And I think that that's a real insight into how you can survive for this long and then make this kind of decision about what you want to do and if you want to survive.
Yes, it is. And I find that films, I always find the true story films very interesting just in terms of what actually happened or not, because... How much input did the subject have? So how much input does Aaron Rolston? And reading about it, he's very happy with the film, whether he has a financial stake in the film. But I mean, it's being silly and cynical. But I mean, I think it is very interesting. You know, are there any aspects of the film that there's a scene there where he goes to masturbate, which I think is quite an interesting, really interesting scene. And it kind of, you know, I mean, but there's no other in terms of his language. He sort of, he swears once.
Yeah.
And just, the grimy sides that I sort of wanted to come out, because there's definitely got to be a really dark aspect that went through his mind in this film, and it didn't really delve too deeply into that. Maybe it didn't happen. Maybe it's just he as it on film, but I just wanted a little bit more grittiness to it.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it is 127 hours, and thankfully, it only goes for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
So you've got, you know, obviously, there's a lot of just, you know, being stuck under a rock exactly. during that time. But I mean, from everything that I've kind of read, James Franco, in particular, wanted to be very realistic, even down to the way that the knots were tied.
And, yes. having,
and Aaron was actually on set for the entire part that they actually filmed in the real canyon,
oh, man.
In the actual spot.
How can you go back? That's insane. That's
amazing.
Phenomenal.
Like, they filmed there, phenomenal. I think it was for a week or maybe 2 weeks, okay. and then they recreated that. And here's another thing that I think is just so Danny Boyle and hilarious. They recreated it in a soundstage, but the whole benefit of being on a soundstage is that you can move walls out and make it easier to shoot.
Yeah.
They built it like it was the canyon. So you could only go in there one at a time. They had to make these special camera rigs just to really force them to have that claustrophobic feel. Because I think it would be too easy to go, oh, we'll just remove the canyon wall. And it gives you that real claustrophobic.
It does look
feeling.
Very impressive. I must admit, the production design is extraordinary. I think the big elephant in the room we have to talk about, obviously, is the cutting off the arm. Look, and a lot of people don't want to see this. I've spoken to people about it, and they said, I don't want to see it because of that. You know what? You know what's going to happen. It lasts for a few minutes. Just close your eyes. I mean, honestly,
yeah,
I think it's a very impressive film, and don't be dissuaded because of that. Just close your eyes because, you know what's going to happen for those 3 minutes.
And honestly, by the time it actually happens, you're like, cut off your arm.
Yeah.
You know, you just really want him to get, like, you are just feeling claustrophobic and you really, yeah. I think that's what makes this film so clever, is you are actually waiting and really cheering for him.
Mm.
You're at that point, you actually want him to do it as well.
Yep.
So there's something quite magnificent about how you can actually get people who you wanting you to do something quite so dramatic.
Yeah. And then, in the film about, the power of the human spirit, that being, you know, terrible about it. It is amazing. This guy and what he has done subsequently, wow.
Amazing.
Phenomenal,
There is zero gay quota in this, apart from the fact that we're all human beings and aren't we all extraordinary. what are you going to give this out of 5?
I'll give it 3.5 stars.
Oh, I'm going to go a little bit higher today. I'm giving this 4.5. No, just 4. Oh, just 4. 4 out of 5. So, definitely worth checking out while the Oscar buzz is happening about 127 hours. You're on Pink Popcorn. This is Joy 94.9 with Kylie and Paul.
Joy 94.9.
That was Aeroplanes by Local Natives. This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9. Well, that's it for another week of film reviews. Paul... It's a lot of films today.
Oh, my gosh. So many films. So little queer content, Kylie.
I know, but we're trying. Look, the Melbourne Queer Film Festival is coming up in a couple of weeks' time, so we are going to be inundated with fantastic queer films.
And there's a lot coming to the cinemas as well after that. So, which is great.
It's looking up.
Yes.
So, gay peeps, don't distress.
Getting pinker out there, people.
Yes, it will happen. Also, we wanted to thank Anonymous from SMSing In, and he or she really wanted to know how bad is the gore. Or when he, did the thing, and I'm assuming he means cut off the arm, in not masturbate, in 127 hours. And you know what? It's pretty bad, but it's not unbearable. It's not what you would imagine.
I thought I would have to turn away, but I didn't.
I actually did turn away, but only for momentarily.
Yeah.
Because then I couldn't resist kind of looking at it. Let it put you off.
Yeah.
There are some. It does go for a few minutes.
Yeah, it does.
But
In real life, it took an hour.
Oh, it took hour. Yeah, it took a long time.
Anyway,
so think
about that when you watch it. Wow,
it could have been longer. But don't let that put you off going and
it's
see
a very strong film. Absolutely,
127 hours. So next week we are going to be looking at Rabbit Hole, which is the new
Nicole Kidman film. Yeah, she's again talking. We're in Oscar season right now, so she has been nominated for an Academy Award.
Yeah,
one of 3 Australian actors.
Oh yes, Jackie Weaver and
Jeffrey Rush.
Jeffrey. Oh God, we might have to do some Oscars talk as well. Why don't we add that to the list of
it's
what we're talking
about? It's only in just over a week's time.
I know, it's coming up so quick. So, look, thank you everyone for listening in. Thank you for those people who SMS in and who also are on our Facebook page. We love having Facebook fans.
What's the Facebook page again?
It's just Pink Popcorn. Search for it. We haven't got our own little URL yet, so we're not quite that popular. You know what? It's a slow burn.
We've only been going for a few weeks.
That's
fine.
That's right. Also, you know, we'll be putting podcasts up. I'm so onto the podcasting now. So if you happen to have missed an episode or you really loved the show, then, you know, you can always listen to it again. We're actually on iTunes.
Wow.
So if you just search for Pink Popcorn under the podcast section in iTunes, or if that's too hard, you can go to joy.org.au/pinkpopcorn, and up there is our Facebook link, our Twitter link, our podcast link, our blog link.
God, we're all over the place.
Whatever is your preferred
social,
poison.
Social network, ahoy.
Yes, you can, you know, join us in any which way you like. Coming up next is the fantastic Adam Todd with Bandcamp. But until next time, we'll see you at the movies. Thanks for staying tuned to Pink Popcorn. This is Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.